She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
And it's a very good thing that we were not trying to do the show last night, friends, because at about 8 o'clock, I was hunkered down in my basement, half bath, with the cats, watching the little pink tornado vortex signature just drift by Cobleskill on the Weather Channel. Yes, we had two tornadoes last night, one of which was only a couple of miles from the house, but tonight it's clear, it's gorgeous, it's beautiful, and so yes, indeed, we are on the radio. So welcome to Empower Readings. I'm Corby Mitlide, and tonight I have a local with me, somebody who also is from the Schoharie Valley, and this is Sue Miller. I've known Sue for several years. She runs the delightful little Celtic Emporium called the Plaid Palette. But the reason I have her on tonight is she's going to be talking to us about a couple of things. One of them is her new book, The Haunting of Cherry Valley, because Cherry Valley, New York, is one of the most haunted places in the state. And we're also going to be talking to her about pendulums, which is one of her specialties. For those of you that don't know, if you've ever seen the little bit of stone or crystal or shell on a string or a chain that somebody holds in one hand and they put their hand flat in the other and they see whether it says yes, no, that's a pendulum. So this wonderfully multi-talented woman, Sue, welcome to Empower Readings.
Thank you, Corby.
Tell me, how long have you been in Cherry Valley for the first place? And explain where that is on the map for people who are listening from, like, Wisconsin.
Okay, Cherry Valley is 11 miles from Cooperstown, New York. We are about an hour from Albany, 35 minutes from Oneonta, and an hour from Utica. So we're west of Albany. And we are in what we call a small little valley here in Otsego County, just over the Schoharie County line. And as I said, it's Baseball Hall of Fame is 11 miles away, Cooperstown.
Isn't it also, I think, the Harness Racing Hall of Fame is there too? Did I remember right?
No.
No? That's not there too? I thought it was.
It used to be the soccer hall.
Okay, all of those sports Hall of Fames, and I'm not a sportsnik, so there you go. So... how old is Cherry Valley? Let's get into that. How did it get all of its ghosts? Is this a Revolutionary War town?
Yes, it is. It was actually settled in 1740. It had a big presence here during the French and Indian War. It even had a fort here. And there's a lot of battles that were fought around here, French and Indian War battles, that nobody seems to know too much about. And then, of course, we come into the Cherry Valley Massacre of 1778 and the start of the Sullivan-Clinton campaign, which Cherry Valley kind of spearheaded. And then the end of the war, of course. And then Cherry Valley was quite a little enterprising town because it was the town where the Great Western Turnpike initially stopped.
Now, what's the Great Western Turnpike? That went from where to where?
Albany to Cherry Valley, the initial one. And then they formed another one from there, from Cherry Valley to Manlius. And then there's a third one that went through Cooperstown and up that way. But it's the Great Western Turnpike, or Route 20, which goes all the way across the United States.
Okay. Got it. So Great Western makes perfect sense.
Yes.
So what were the kinds of things that Cherry Valley would have been known for? Was it a railway stop? Did it grow particular crops? Why was it on the map?
We have, initially, we were the major stop for the turnpike. We were the last for people who wanted to go to the Ohio's and westward. We had an academy, one of the first academies west of the Mohawk River. We had this academy was actually started in 1740, and it lasted.
What do you mean by an academy, like a school?
Yes, it was a school. It was a school.
Okay. Okay. So it's your typical little 18th century, maybe 19th century town.
Yes.
When did people start noticing that there were people living there who weren't living anymore?
I think in my interviews with over 140 people, and we have book two started actually, I became aware that ghosts were kind of lumped into the whole idea of spirituality. So there were people who had encounters, but they also had encounters with loved ones more than just, oh, that's a haunted house and a person committed suicide there and la-da-da-da-da-da. We have a lot of them too. But it was more like, you know, I talked to my grandfather or I talked to my grandson who has passed. And it ended up to be a pretty interesting book on spirituality and people living alongside their ghosts. I mean, I live in a haunted house. I live with three of them. And I walked in the door and I said, oh my God, this house is haunted, you know, and who are these people? And finally, after research, I found out who they were. One has protected the family over the years. The other one is a little fellow that unfortunately passed about 9 years old. And a lot of people have seen him here. And the third one is a mystery to us, actually, because we don't know a lot about her.
So how do you go back and check and see if these people are real?
Well, these people themselves, I mean, I see them or I'll get messages from them. It just comes in as a spoken word or maybe, hi, Sue, you know,
So you've had people who did the research, who were able to identify people, and so it's not a matter of what's the word I'm looking for? Hearsay. Well, somebody told me that somebody told me that somebody told me that maybe there was a ghost. It's actual. It's practically like the DAR. You know,
yes.
How Daughters in the American Revolution, you have to go all the way back for 12 generations. So you're saying that that's how people knew these people.
The thing that I started researching when I started researching my book on the massacre, and I'm the Cherry Valley historian, is I had access to a lot of these records. And I started really digging into them and going, whoa, that's who lived there. And then I would get stories, especially 4 or 5 years ago with one particular person with our museum, which is haunted by two wonderful ghosts, and yet, who were they? And so, in researching back through the records, I found out, oh, yes, this is who is there.
Okay. Now, have these ghosts been seen, or just heard, or do they move things? What flavor ghosts are they?
All three. Really, all three. We've had ghosts...
Really?
Houses that right now love to move keys around on some of the opera singers. And it's really funny because the opera singers will come to me and say, you know, we know this house is haunted. What do we do? I said, just live with it. I said, just if they're going to bother you, it's one thing, but you can live with them. You can learn to live with them. Just simply say, this is my space. Stay out of it. Or these are my keys. I want my keys back. That's what I've had to do for years is all of a sudden my glasses are missing. And I'll just stand in the middle of the kitchen floor and go, okay, guys, we took the glasses. You got 5 minutes. I'm leaving the room. They better be back where I put them an hour ago. And inevitably, they will be back on the counter.
Okay, now you talk about the opera. Did we mention opera? Do people know what opera is out there? I don't think so.
Opera, no, the Glimmerglass Opera is a fantastic world-class opera. I thoroughly insist that people go to the opera. It's not what you think. And they're doing Camelot this year. They're doing the Flying Dutchman. It's just fantastic performances by these people that come in from all over the world to perform. And there's a young opera program and the seamstresses and I mean the set design is incredible. This is
worth it. So how do the opera people end up in Cherry Valley? Do they take rooms there or rehearse or what?
They rehearse and they also rent houses here. And it's nothing to go out my front door in the morning and hang my open sign and listen to an aria coming in from maybe the house up the street. Or and it's just so great. I said, sing, yes, sing.
So let's get back to the ghosts. Have you ever had a ghost hunting group go through and see who they could find?
There was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, a video put online of a group that came, I think it was Halloween, and did work in the cemetery. And the cemetery is quite haunted. It's wonderful. The ghost coach, the ghostly fiddler, the woman with the little boy, the two little girls. I mean, I can't tell you how many. Oh, Mr. Roseboom is in there every day. He sits in front of his mausoleum. I mean, just fun stuff. And the interviews of the people who had stories about the cemetery were so extensive. I had people from Florida calling me up. Yeah, I remember as a little girl. And I remember the ghost coach and local people telling me, oh, yeah, when I was a kid or when my father was a kid, this is what happened to his mother and his grandmother in the front of the cemetery, and it still is happening even today.
All right, the two that I want to know about are the ghost coach and the guy sitting in front of his mausoleum. How do these appear to people, and how often do they happen?
It's sporadic. I know that I have a story from 1933. I have two stories from the 40s, one from the 50s, and then three recent, like within the last 5 years.
All right. Tell us about the oldest one from 1933. What did people say they saw or heard?
Well, the gentleman in question, his father, who was about 15 years old at the time, was driving his grandmother in the Model T Ford. And they got abreast of the cemetery, and all of a sudden, the Model T just conked out. It would not go any further. The battery, it actually was almost, there was no battery power at all. So we got under the car, and his grandmother's going, hurry up, hurry up. You've got to see this, you've got to see this. And he's going, I can't, I've got to get this car started. So, she's going, oh my gosh, will you look at this? And there, right down the middle of the road, comes a woman dressed in white and 8 or 10 men in tall top hats, followed by the coach, the hearse with the coffin in it. They turn in front of them, right through the cemetery gates, and they promptly disappear. And at that moment, the car started back up again.
Wow. I mean, my stomach is going all squeaky listening to that one. And is that the kind of apparition that the most recent people have seen? In a sense, the ghost hasn't lost any of its ink?
Exactly. Recently, we had a very good friend of mine pass about 2-3 years ago, and he had a niece. And just before he passed, he was quite ill. But he was able to still walk in the cemetery because he always used to say, I used to meet people down there that, you know, nobody else is supposed to meet, but they're really great people, you know, and it inferences to the different ghosts that were down there. And he come running up the road one night. He could barely speak or breathe, and he comes into the front door, and he says, I've seen it. I have seen it. Now I can pass. And his poor niece is standing there, see what? I saw the ghost coach. Only for a couple of seconds, but I saw it. It was right in front of me. And one lady in particular, back in the 60s, she was a little girl, and her grandmother used to always say, well, yeah, I see the ghost coach. I've seen it a couple of times. And she used to always hunt for it. At that point, the cemetery always had a hedge, and she used to always look in the hedge. And her grandmother used to always say to her, Elsie, if you don't stop looking in that hedge, you're going to go down a rabbit hole, and it's going to be just like Alice in Wonderland.
So what did she do? Did she stop, or did she stay looking it through the hedge?
She says, to this day, I still think of that coach. I still think of that coach.
All right. What are we talking in terms of Mr. Mausoleum Sitter? Who is this guy?
Okay, he is an elderly man. He was kind of what we would call an entrepreneur, and his grandfather ended up being a multi-millionaire with about 10,000 acres in Cherry Valley, Roseboom, and Middlefield. And he sold off the land, and he wheeled and dealed in his land, and he owned a lot of railroad stocks. And he started several dynasties, including the Belcher dynasty, which we'll get into in a few minutes. But this man, he's an elderly man, and he walks very slowly, and the gentleman who used to mow the cemetery has seen him many, many times. And he walks to where he is buried, and he sits on the steps, and just sits there. And then all of a sudden, you go around and with the mower for the third or fourth time, and he'll just disappear. And he says, there's no way that guy can get out of there that fast. So he finally got the idea that, hey, I'm seeing an actual spirit. I'm actually seeing the spirit of a person who just wants to hang around his gravesite, I guess.
And how old was this guy? When did he die?
Oh, he died in his 90s. And it's got to be 1850s, 1860s when he passed.
Okay. So you can really tell that this is not a normal person, because the clothing has to be very different.
Yes.
Very different.
And that's one of the things with the ghost coach, too, is that sometimes you'll just see the coach, and other times you'll see an entire funeral procession led by this woman in white. And obviously she is not dressed like today. No way. She's got a white long gown on, and the guys have top hats and tails. It's like the guy at the bank. Our bank building has one, if not two, and there's a guy that stands in the corner with tails and a very formal-looking suit from, I would say, about 1870, 1880s, definitely that kind. And several people have called me saying, yes, we've seen him. We have seen him when going into the bank and looking in the back, and there he stands. He's standing there, and it's almost as if he's just watching over everybody, the tellers, and, just seeing who comes in. I think it's Mr. Bacon. I really do.
Who's the most fun ghost that really likes tweaking on us?
I would say Oliver. Oliver is very aware. Okay. Oliver has been kind of with me for the last few days, kind of like going, this is going to be fun. This is going to be really fun. And he's a fun guy, and his story is really, really interesting, because it involves many, many, many houses in Cherry Valley, but particularly ours and his daughter's house, which is Willow Hill.
Yeah.
And just before the owners bought the owners before bought Willow Hill, it was abandoned pretty much. And the great grandson went in and said, well, I've got to clean out the place because we got to get it sold, and this place is literally falling down. And at that point, it was back in the 70s. And they found a portrait of Oliver.
Really?
Yep.
And was the portrait really close to what he looked like?
It was a portrait done by his great grandson, posthumously. Mm-hmm. And I think it was about 1880, because he died in 1859. He passed in 1859. And so what happened was the great-great-grandson took the portrait down and put it in his home, where he had two children. And the mm-hmm. two children today are my age. They're in their 60s, and they're, this is how many years ago it was. Well, anyway, the girl, he put it in his library. He hung it in the library. He was very proud. This is great, great grandpa, And the sister to the great, great, great grandson used to love to play in the library. Well, it got to the point where she wouldn't play in there anymore. And she kept saying, I'm not going in there. That portrait tries to talk to us. It follows us with its eyes. It glows. We don't like it. So when the father passed, none of the kids wanted that portrait, but one fellow, the one the one great-great-great-grandson, and he took the portrait, and he decided he was going to hang it in his home in the living room. Well, this went on for several years, and he went down the stairs one night, and he noticed that there was a lamp on next to the portrait, and he said, that lamp, I know, I turned the lamp off. And he kind of turned the lamp off, went about his business in the kitchen, went back upstairs, and about a week later, he comes down again, and the light is lit again. And he says, I know I turned this lamp off. So the third time this happened, he finally stood in front of the portrait, and he said, okay, Gramps. He said, if you want this lamp lit, you are going to have to give me a sign. So about 4 months later was there a major hurricane in Texas that wiped out power, and I'm trying to remember the name of the hurricane. It was a recent, relatively recent hurricane. And
so that would be probably Ruby?
I don't know.
Or Rita. Rita. It was Rita because it followed Irene. Okay. Katrina. All right. Got it.
And so, when Rita hit the Midland, Texas area, Midland area, Austin, it wiped out, it devastated homes, but more than anything, it just pulled down the power grid for like 3 weeks. And guess what? The light next to the portrait was lit for all those 3 weeks. There was no power in the house, but the light was lit.
Well, I don't think you can argue with that. So, if you are going to tell people, we're almost at break, but I want to ask one last quick question on this. If you're going to tell people how to encourage a ghost in Cherry Valley, you know, the polite things you say, do you leave them out a bowl of milk like the fairies? What do? If you really want to see one of these discarnates, how do you invite them to say hello? Would you like to appear?
It's a pretty... I can't explain it because I've had more encounters like down at the old school, a lot of encounters down there, and people are right beside me going, what did you see? I said, I just saw a person move in front of me, and I think it's how open you are, but I have people just seem to be open to it here more than they are elsewhere, and it's like whatever comes, they're not mean or there are a couple of mean and nasty ones, but you know, you kind of got to protect yourself from that. But
yes,
with the ones around here, they're living their lives on another plane at the same time we're living our lives. And there's kind of this crossover almost in some of these houses. Mm-hmm. I can walk in a house and say, well, aren't we active today? And I can walk in it the next day and it's, you know, everybody's out doing something else, you know? So it really depends. Some of them on the anniversaries or especially if they want to contact a loved one and they can't get through to that loved one, they'll ask an intuitive, a psychic, they'll kind of tell them, I can't tell you how many times I've had people come in the store and I can see people with them. I mean, there's, you know, who's, you know, and I'll ask, if I know the person is not going to consider me totally whacked out, I'll ask, well, who's the kid? You know, who's the boy with you? Or I see your grandmother today, you know, and they're pretty open to that. We have a lot of people mm-hmm. who are very, very open to the point that, oh, I know my grandma's with me today. She's always with me.
All right. If people want to get a hold of this book, where are they going to find it?
Plant Palette, they'll find it online. They'll find it at the Cherry Valley Museum. They'll find it at Gates Cole, which is our insurance office.
Okay, but if they're listening from out of New York State, how do they get a copy?
And you can go on Facebook and Susan Murray Miller and just an historiccherryvalley.com, plantpalette.com, suetkelticart.com. Any of those websites will be fine.
Okay, and if you go to Plaid Palette, folks, that's PlaidePalette.com. All right, when we come back, we are going to flip over. We're going to be talking about pendulums and how they work. And if people have questions, I know I always say don't ask yes, no questions. Tonight, if you have a yes, no question, you can call in because that's what this is for. So as soon as we're back from the break, 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. If you have questions for Sue Miller and her pendulums, you're listening to Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. We will see you in just about a minute and a half.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy.
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year? The majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy, the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Insta-Do. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side, and you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. Your calls are next at 248-809-3475. 248-809-3475. Empower Readings on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Empower Readings. I'm Corby Mitlide, and I am having a rollicking time with my guest tonight, Sue Miller, who is both an author of The Hauntings of Cherry Valley, one volume out, second volume in the works, but she also plays with pendulums. And pendulums are not spooky. They're tools. They're like crystal balls. They're like tarot cards. They're like scrying mirrors. They themselves are neutral. It's how you use them that makes the difference. So for people who have zip no idea about Pendulum Sue, how would you introduce them? Give us Pendulums 101 here.
Well, I would introduce pendulums with the fact that they're very old. We have pendulum clocks. We have seismometers that use pendulums. We have ship navigational devices that use pendulums and did use pendulums from, God, the 3rd and 4th centuries, if not before that. And all it is just a simple string or a chain with a stone, a shell. I've even worked them with paper clips. And they work off, well, no one actually knows how they work, but they work off of the energy and your own intuition. So it's all about you. It's all about your force field, your aura, your center of energy for your God-given, divine-given tools that you have within you. And a lot of people get really freaked out, shall we say, when for the first time they pull a pendulum and I'll say, okay, now we're going to work with this pendulum. And they look at it and I'll say, okay, ask the pendulum to show you your yes. And they're like, and then all of a sudden the pendulum starts swinging all by itself. And these people start going, oh my God. Oh, oh, oh. I said, calm down. The biggest thing with using the pendulum is you must be relaxed. They don't read your energy very well if you're in a state of flux and if you're stressed. You've got to be relaxed. And as I say to people, just big deep breath, relax, and it'll work for you.
Okay. Now, you say you use paper clips, yeah, any port in a storm.
Yeah.
But does what you have as the pendulum weight make a difference? I've seen just plain metal. I've seen crystals. I've seen shells. Do you get a different use, vibe, anything based on what it's made of?
Absolutely, because this is very important. You know, Corby, you know yourself that some stones, such as amethyst, is a calming stone. Bloodstone is a healing stone. Crystals are the all-around good stone. Carnelian is a stone that I wouldn't have for people who are kind of wishy-washy, because carnelian will make you jump out of your skin. And there's an interesting story about carnelian. A lady came in the shop, and I said, okay, choose your pendulum. And she said, well, I really like this orange one. I said, uh-oh. So I kind of got a really odd feeling from the lady, and I said, are you sure that you really want this pendulum? And I said, come on, let's pick some more, too. So she picked 6, put them on the counter, and she went over the hand, you know, just seeing which one kind of felt good to her. And they will give off a definite feel. It might be a little spark in your hand. It might be a feeling of warmth. It might be that they just jump out of your way. I've had that with some teenagers one day. They were lining up their pendulums and picking one, and actually one of them just jumped right out of the way, and I said, that is absolutely not your pendulum. You don't want that. And the girl goes, it jumped. I said, yes, it doesn't like your energy, so therefore you're not compatible. Don't get it. I'm warning you, don't get it, because it's not going to work for you. And this lady kept saying, I want that orange one. I love orange. And she had orange on her, and she obviously was an orange person. And I said, I really have feelings. I said, okay, I'll tell you what, take it home with you. So she paid like $12 for her pendulum. And she walked out the door, and I said, ma'am, I said, if you have a problem with this pendulum, bring it back and we'll exchange it. Not a problem. We have a pendulum exchange program, because let's face it, people who are ill, who get the bloodstone one, once the illness is really transgressed in it, it is pretty much laid to a rest in that person's life. They'll come in a couple of years later and say, remember this pendulum? I said, yes, and I have a box of older pendulums that people can pick from. And I'll say, yeah, sure, pick another one. You know, what do you need in your life now? You know, do you need positive influence, or do you need, you know, a stone that's calming? And they'll pick a pendulum out and walk out the door, you know, and that'll be it. But this woman is back. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit, because not everybody can return the pendulums to the original buyers. You know, you're wonderful about that, but some people will say, eh, tough. So let's say that you pick One of the standard pendulums, you've seen them. They are brass and they're a shaped pointy piece of metal. Some are nicely carved, whatever. How do you attune yourself? For instance, when I get a new deck of cards, be it tarot or oracle or divination deck or whatever, I sit with the cards, I literally take them out of the box, spread them out on the desk or on the bed and say, hi, this is me. I'm delighted that you're going to play with me. This is how I work. Please show me how you'd like to work with me. And guaranteed, the cards that I pull will tell the story of, we're a very gentle kind of deck, and this is going to be your guardian while we work, and this is great. Or don't ask us any stupid questions. We only work with the major stuff. Or one deck, seriously, one deck that said, we have been the sample deck for so long, and we're bruised and we hurt because people picked us up who really don't give a damn about us. Please just use us personally until we tell you otherwise. And that's a deck that I never even take to shows, even though I take all my others. So that's an example of how I get to know my decks. How does a person get to know their pendulum when they bring it home?
When you bring it home, the big thing is to own your pendulum. In other words, say to the pendulum, hi, I have bought you, I'd like to use you, and I'd like you to be happy with me and my energy. So I say to the first thing you do is wash it, cleanse it with water, and don't let other people touch it. And This usually works very well. You're going to laugh, but I keep mine in my bra.
Okay!
That's where I keep it, and people laugh at me at shows, and I'll stick my hand down there, and out comes the pendulum, and they're going, oh, my God. I said, well, where else, I mean, especially when I'm running or if I'm doing some, you know, outside work and some kayaking and things like that, where else do you put it? And I, with me, I would lose it in my pocket. So I keep it close to my heart.
Bingo. I was going to say, just say I keep it close to my heart. You know, what the hell do they need to know? So you've sat with your pendulum, you've shared a cup of coffee with it, you drink, you dunk it in, you know, whatever. When do you know that you're ready to actually play with it? When do you get the signal that you guys are attuned?
I think after a couple of hours, even in most cases. I mean, most people handle them, they'll wash them, maybe take a shower with them. You know, water is a cleanser. And I don't mean soapy dishwater, and I don't mean rainwater is good. Tap water is great too. Stream water, anything like that, water is a cleanser. And some people say,
what's all this stuff about salt that I hear? People say soak things in salt.
That is for really, to me, it is for really extreme cases when you have somebody who has picked up your pendulum and worked with maybe that this person is not in tune with you. This person is kind of like, I hate to say evil person, and I won't use that word, but a person who has different energy and different values than you do, maybe. That is the time that. Get that, you know, put it in salt, put it on the moonlight, whatever, and then wash the salt off of it with water again. But you've got to cleanse your pendulum. Case in point, if I might be a little brief, I had this pendulum working at the show in Oneonta, and I was demonstrating, and there must have been 20 people there. And a woman grabbed the pendulum from me and put it in her hand, and I said, uh-oh, there goes that one. Well, I took it back from her. She was using it, and I let her do that. And she was using it, and I put it back in its spot again, and I forgot about cleansing it. Now, this was the day before Thanksgiving. My daughter was due with our granddaughter, and this woman's daughter, unbeknownst to me at the time, and I knew her daughter was also due. So I got the pendulum out that night, and I'm working, and I say, okay, when is Annika going to be born? So I went through the dates, and it was no, 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 no. And all of a sudden, it came up to December 2nd. Yes. Great. Okay. So I called everybody, and I said, Annika's going to be born on the 2nd of December. So the 2nd of December comes and it goes. The 3rd of December comes and goes. And I said, what happened? My pendulum's never been wrong before. Well, come to think, this woman comes in the shop about the 4th of December, and she said, guess what? My daughter had her baby on the 3rd, and I'm going, oh, it picked up her energy over my energy. So I immediately said, oh, gosh. So I cleansed my pendulum really good, And I said, okay, Pendulum, you and I are going to work together. We got to find out when this baby is going to be born. So I went through the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, December 8th, and it said, yes, the baby will be born December 8th. Well, of course, I'm calling everybody back, and I've got mud on my face, you know, and I'm going, the baby's going to be born December 8th. And my brother's laughing, and my daughter's going, yeah, Ma, yeah, Ma. The baby was born on December 8th.
Okay. So once you got the pendulum to realign its antenna.
Yes, exactly. With you, okay. With your energy. In other words, it's coming back to Mama. Or
okay,
Dad.
What kinds of questions? Yes. What kind of questions can you ask a pendulum, and what type of things does it, like, not want to deal with?
They'll pretty much tell you. They are very specific. If they don't tell you anything, or if they sit there and shake on you, then you, number one, it doesn't know the answer, and number two, it's none of your business. Maybe you have a really important question that is really life-threatening or threatening somebody else's life, or and you're asking, you know, what you should do. There are some times when you shouldn't do anything, and it will pretty clearly tell you that. But I mean, okay. It's for due dates, and I use it. I've used it for illnesses. I've used it. Reiki practitioners use it. Chiropractors have used it. Holistic homeopaths have used it. Use them for illnesses, getting the, you know, a pendulum will basically hone in on an illness in the body, and that's those are basically a light working tool.
Mm-hmm. So if people out there have questions that they want to ask, they can ask about relationships, they can ask about business, they can ask about finance, they can ask about whether they should move. All of what I call the everyday tour bus, house, car, job, kids, okay, God, now what questions?
Yes.
All right. Can you deal with three things? Should I go to Ohio State, Stanford, or Amherst? You know, that's not a yes, no. So how would you work a question like that?
Just simply break it down. Should I go to Amherst? Okay, thank you. And remember, when you're always working your pendulum, it is a living thing. It is a rock. Mm-hmm. It is a living thing. It's like a tree. It's like a human. It's like a bird. It's like a horse or a dog. It is a living thing. Treat it like that. Treat it with respect. Say thank you. Thank you, Pendulum. Thank you for your answer. And if I should go, well, maybe I should go to Stanford. Maybe I should go to Amherst. You know, and it will, yes or no, if you need to know, it will tell you yes or no. The thing is calibrating okay. To show you, you ask it, show me my yes. And it will show you which direction. It might be a circle. It might be an elliptical circle. It might be counterclockwise, clockwise. It might be just a swing to the left and right, left and right. It might be a swing up and down, back and forth. You know, that is your yes. It's different with everybody.
I'm sorry, you said a swing. I'm thinking the old Time Warp line is just a swing to the left, and I'm thinking, no, 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 no. Get your head out of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It's a left, right, left, right, or up and down, you know, back and forth.
Yeah.
You got to be
okay.
Very cognizant of the direction that it's going in. And then
okay,
stop. And a lot of people get freaked at this because you'll say, okay, stop. And it will stop. It will absolutely stop. It will slow right down to a dead stop. And people are going, oh, my God, it stopped. Yeah, it did. It's you told it to stop. It's acting on what you wanted to do. And then say,
okay.
Thank you. And then ask the question again.
All right, I'm going to ask one of those baby date questions. We have a lovely listener named Kate who called a couple of weeks ago. And Allie Cheslick and I saw her due date is the 28th, and the kid is sitting there saying, uh-uh. So we'd like to know what you think the date's going to be. The kid is imminent. The kid is like, it should be backing out of the parking space already.
Okay.
I can even, so... You know, tell me, ask the pendulum, if you please, hello, pendulum, what you think is going to be the story with the debut of Little Miss, we'll call her, because I don't know if the name is public, even though I know the name.
Now,
I'm holding
the
thought.
What is her actual due date?
I think it was like tomorrow. So it's you know, when I say imminent, we're talking imminent, yes.
All right.
So, so we thought it might be early, but apparently the kid is not.
Mm-hmm. Would like to
so
know.
I feel like we need the Jeopardy music, guys. You know, the anathema of radio is dead air. Oh. So I'm going to keep my very quiet. Aha! Do we have an answer already?
We have an answer here. I've asked about the second, and I'm getting a swing that stop. Little Miss be born on the third. No.
So what are we saying? Second?
Second, we're saying right now.
Okay. Katie, Froze Mama, if you're listening, the pendulum is guessing on June 2nd. I know you're saying, oh, please, it's another 3 days, but we'll see if the pendulum was right. And if so, please, you know, pop on the air and let us know, and we will be sure to tell Sue.
Please let me know.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Let's see. What are some of the other kinds of questions that we're thinking about? All right. I'm going to ask another one. I have a friend in England who is dealing with some difficult job stuff. So let's just say, is it going to be in her favor or no?
Angela, did you hear that? And would you like to give the lady in England an answer? Oh, it's real strong on no. Real strong on
okay.
No. Real strong, and I really feel the energy. Thank you. Thank you, Steph.
Okay.
Real strong on
okay,
no.
So... Okay. If you guys have questions out there, let's grab them.
Like, look somewhere else. Like, look closer is what I get the feeling right now. Look closer. That's all I get. That's all I get through is look closer.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I know exactly what that is. I don't think it's going to be terrible for her, but it's simply going to be she's got to walk through the challenge. That's fine. No problem there. Okay. Let me think. Do I have any other questions? All right. Let's take something big. Okay. Now, can you separate out your personal feelings from whatever I'm going to ask you?
Okay.
Okay. We had that close tornado last night around Summit and East Jefferson. But tornadoes are only half of the story. This is Hurricane Irene country, and they're talking for a much bigger hurricane season than usual this year. Is the Schoharie Valley going to get a pass, stay safe?
Okay, Pendulum, here's a question. Now, to phrase it so that we have a yes or a no on the storms this year. The Schoharie Valley and Otsego County. Okay.
We're still recovering from Hurricane Irene, listeners, so, and that was 2011. We want to make sure that we're not going to have anything like that again for a while.
Unfortunately, it's going to happen again, and it's very, very decisive. It's not as decisive as the baby or the job, but it is definitely telling me we are in for some interesting weather, very interesting and very severe weather. And
okay,
we had a hurricane, or not a hurricane, but a tornado touchdown in Milford, New York, which really devastated a beautiful park down there, and half the mountainside was totally. Mm-hmm. Trees, about 8-9 years ago now. I think it might be a little longer, but we're due.
Okay. Are we seeing something like another flood like Irene?
Let me see. Irene was terrible here, and I know it was terrible in Keene Valley, and it was terrible in the Schoharie Valley, and in the Mohawk River Basin, it was terrible. And I think we are up to seeing, are we seeing flood? No.
Good. Now, the one thing that I want to remind listeners is Sue Miller, I'm terribly fond of her, but she's not God and neither is her pendulum. Neither are my cards, neither is anybody who works with metaphysics. The very best of us, as I always say, are 85% accurate. The only one 100% accurate is God, and I haven't convinced him to come be a guest on the radio show yet. So these are all experiments. We will be very interested to find out if this stuff happens, especially Katie and her baby. We're just about at close, so tell people again where they can find you, your pendulums, and the books. If you come to the Mohawk Valley, the Schoharie Valley, where is the plaid palette?
It is in Cherry Valley, in the middle of the village, next door to the Cherry Valley Museum. It's a wonderful place to visit, the museum. Very historic. We have some unique bed and breakfasts. We have an art gallery. We have a wonderful Mexican restaurant. We have the Tryon. We have Triangle. We have lots of Rose and Kettle, Coyote Cafe. We have lots of places to eat that are just wonderful. A lot of eclectic foods. So that's where we are, right in the middle of Cherry Valley.
And it's an absolutely beautiful drive. Anywhere on the East Coast, because you've got Sharon Springs, you've got Cooperstown, you've got all of the wonderful things that make up New York State. Sue, it's been wonderful having you. Thank you so much for sharing both the book and the pendulum skills with us. Everybody, next week, you are welcome. Next week, we're going to have a detox roundtable. One of our favorite guests, Chef Christie, will be back with us, and Kasia Cummings. Kasia is a holistic nutritionist, and we're going to be having a roundtable on how to clear out your body, give it its best, do what you need to do to keep yourself 100%. If you want to know where to find me when it's between shows, go to firethroughspirit.com. Find me on Facebook, either at Corby Midline or Fire Through Spirit, or as always, you can call me and say, let's talk at 877-321-CORBY. It's been a fabulous show, not the least of which, because we did not have a tornado get us to take us off the air. So assuming we all have good weather next week, we will see you back here at Empower Radio. Have a great one.